You're with Life Matters, and last year, John Davey's health took a really serious turn. John was rushed to hospital and placed in an induced coma. To save his life, doctors amputated both of John's legs and his arms. And then he faced months of recovery and rehabilitation. Producer Eliza Hull, a person with a physical disability, spoke to John and two other recent amputees about their experiences and to find out what it takes to create a new normal.
I'm in Box Hill, where I've come to meet John Davey in his home that he shares with his wife, Deb.
Hi, how are you going?
I'm well.
Thank you for having me. My name's Eliza.
Eliza.
Last year in 2018, John became a quad amputee, meaning he had both his hands and feet amputated.
It was a very interesting birthday week. I turned 55 on Monday. And on Saturday, I was in an induced coma. Thursday, went to work, came home, cooked dinner, as I used to do. By about 11:30, went to bed, which is normal, and woke up at about 1:30, 2 o'clock, feeling really ordinary. I had sweats, I was shivering, I couldn't get warm enough. And then about 2:30, I felt that familiar feeling. So I got up, went to the toilet, vomited profusely, and kind of thought, okay, whatever I've got, I've got rid of. Decided to spend Friday at home, in the spare room, until about 8:30 that night I decided that I'd swap and go back to the normal bed.
This is when John's wife, Deb, felt that something was really not right.
But she rang Nurses on Call, because they had a chat with her, and she passed the phone to me, and they said, don't want to ask you a couple of questions. And then they kind of finished with, well, it's probably just gastro. There's a big bug going around, you know. You probably just, but look, hand the phone back to Deb and you'll get over it. And pass the phone to Deb when they said, okay, we've ordered an ambulance. We're not sure what it is. It could be gastro, but over the phone you can't tell. We would suggest you get him down to the emergency centre as quickly as you can.
The ambulance came and took John to hospital.
Yeah, the doctors looked at me and did a few tests and shook their head a lot and just went, you're not right, but we don't know what it is. Your chart, everything's all over the place. It's, you know, don't know what it is. We're going to give you an awful lot of drugs. We don't know what the effect will have on you, so we'd prefer if you're asleep while we did it. I went, okay, you know, put me under anaesthetic, wake me up when I'm better and I'll go home. Well, their sleep was an induced coma.
Did you know that?
Well, did I know that? Did they say that? Probably. Did I understand it? No, I just thought, yeah, put me to sleep and wake me up. So 2.5 weeks later, I did. I woke up.
John was diagnosed with meningococcal. Luckily, the doctors gave him a meningococcal vaccination, but septicemia had also set in.
I had sores and scabs and open wounds from my dead toes to my forehead, bandaged to within an inch of my life. I couldn't lift my arms or legs because of the weight of everything. But when I kind of looked down the bed, I saw these black burnished things, and they were my feet. And similar with my hands, they just folded over and basically died. I've kind of figured at that point, I'm looking at dead flesh for the last 8 weeks. They're not going to grow back. They're not going to come alive. They are just dead, literally dead weight. So the sooner they get rid of them, the better.
John then went into surgery to have both his hands and feet amputated.
My hands were taken mid-forearm. My below-knee amputation didn't go as well. They'd basically taken me off halfway through. As we planned, I was going to be a below-knee amputee. And they were a bit concerned whether the degradation of the skin and cells had reached as far as my knees. They said, your knees are cactus. They're not going to sustain a viable prosthetic. You won't be able to hold your own weight on them. You're now above knee amputee. That was the first time Deborah and I actually broke down together, because that wasn't what was planned. We didn't sign up for that. I was going to be below knee amp. And to wake up to that, and it all kind of just welled up. And we did. We railed against the world. We swore a lot. We cried and said everything was unfair. And then after about 20 minutes, we kind of went, Yeah, okay. That took a lot of effort, and we've done that now. New reality.
Now you've got a gorgeous dog.
Lola the underdog, yes.
How long have you had Lola?
Lola's been with us for 2 weeks.
It's been 8 months since John was in hospital, and since then he's been going to rehab weekly, learning to adapt and create a new normal.
When you've got no hands and legs, you adapt pretty quickly to do things that everybody else does. You used to do without even thinking about it, but you still want to do or you need to do to live a life.
What about people's attitudes? Do you find that a barrier when you're out, stairs, people asking questions, or do you...
Friends and family, they're all fine, you know. I think the biggest conundrum for people I know, because I'm a handshaky type guy, you know, how's it going? Yeah, it's good. And I put out my stump. And some people will grab my stump and shake it as is a shaken hand. Other people will give me a fist pump, which I find really amusing because I'm not actually giving, in my head, I'm not giving you my fist. I'm, you know, shaking hands. When we're out in the street, kids are great. They will stare at you. I'll wave at them or I'll somehow interact with them. And you can hear them. Mummy, he's got no legs. As they walk by, and there's a lot of explaining that must go on at home.
What do you think are the greatest or the biggest misconceptions about being an amputee?
And they all say, wow, you're doing this or you're doing that. That's inspirational. And you kind of go, well, I wake up in the morning and I remember my own name. Well done me. So do you. I have help showering, but I could shower myself and dress myself, but it would take 2 hours. It's much easier done with assistance. So I get dressed and I make my own breakfast. I put 2 bits of bread in the toaster and get a cheese slice or two out, you know. I do what you do. I do it differently. I have ways of doing it, but I do it, you know. I wipe my own bum. There are ways. There are tools. There are things that you can use, you know. It's just this adaption thing. And so, it's not inspirational. I'm doing the things that you do. I might do them differently, but I'm doing them. I'm just being normal.
I'm now in the city of Melbourne at an event called the Squad Quad Muster. This is a place for quad amputees all around the world to get together to share their common experiences. I spoke with the organiser, Mandy McCracken, who's also a quad amputee.
So the Quad Squad is a group for quadruple amputees, and we started our group probably about 6 years ago when I was just coming out of hospital and I met for the first time another quadruple amputee. I'd never met anyone who'd lost all four limbs. When we got together, it was an incredible experience because we actually got to ask questions that you're never going to get an answer from besides from somebody who's been lived through it.
What do you think this kind of event does for people that are amputees and also especially newly amputees?
We had a session today that was about the emotional journey, and one of the questions in the room was, what does this event mean to you? And the answer was that they feel supported. To have somebody say, you're going to be okay.
Today, the participants are doing an art class, painting often for the first time since becoming a quad amputee.
I'm Elizabeth Stanley. I had no idea what I was going to do when I sat down, but I thought we'd been watching some of the more tragic aspects of our existence and our journey this morning through theatre, and most of us ended up mopping our eyes with Kleenex. And it kind of took me back to the beginning of realising I'm an artist and I was going to lose my hands, and it was going to be a very different experience for the rest of my life. So I think I'm just painting a fairly gloomy little introverted figure as the beginning of a journey. I don't feel as though this is a portrait of me now, but maybe a generic portrait of how one feels when the announcement comes that you're going to lose your hands and feet.
Matthew Ames.
And can you tell me what you've painted today?
I have painted a small world in my hands, but it's probably a little bit different to what other people may paint for that.
In what way?
Well, since I don't have hands anymore, I use prosthetics and hooks for pretty much everything, which gives me access to the world. So it's really about kind of my ability to interact with the whole world.
I spoke with one of the participants, Lyndall Cowley, about becoming a newly amputee. Lyndall is 69 years of age and is from Carrum Downs in Victoria. 12 months ago, she suddenly felt unwell.
I was collapsed at home for 2 days by myself, and ladies at work had rung my daughter to say, where was I? I was supposed to be at work. And from that, Renee rang and couldn't get on to me. I thought, typical mum, the phone's gone flat. Left it go for a little while, and then she rang a neighbour, and the neighbour came in and found me, and my dog was in the house for 2 days as well, by herself, so she was pretty frantic. I only remember Sandra shaking me and saying, Lyndall, it's Sandra, don't leave me. And the only next thing I remember was my daughter saying, Mum, they're going to have to cut your hands off. And I don't remember 5 weeks after that.
Lyndall was diagnosed with a strep pneumonia infection. She was placed in an induced coma and had both her hands and feet amputated, spending a total of 6 months in hospital.
I have never said, why me? I don't believe in doing that. I just feel if you've got a problem, I just think, get on with it and do your best. You know, it's been put in your lap and you've got to deal with it. And it was hard to believe. The hardest thing for me when I first sort of came to was when the family come in to see me and my granddaughter was there and she was backing back from the bed, because I had tubes in my nose and things, and that really hurt me. But now she's just an absolute godsend. She's beautiful, yeah.
What's been some of the most challenging times?
I think now seeing my daughter after 12 months of all of this, because Renee was by my side every day. She lived at the hospital for 7 weeks when it all first started happening. And they were the hard times. She's oftentimes told me little bits and pieces of how bad it was and how I'd asked her to put a pillow over my head, and I don't remember any of these things. So she has lived through the worst. And now that I'm in her home, you know, she has a husband and 2 children and me and herself. So, yeah, she's struggling. I am trying to do my best to do more things around the house. Starting to get a bit more courage. It takes a while, and then all of a sudden you think, I can do that.
What do you think some of the biggest assumptions are about being an amputee?
Just the misunderstanding is the fact that they haven't experienced it, so they don't know how to talk to you. They keep offering help, but, you know, in some ways you want to be left alone to do it your way, because you know you have got to do it to move on. You've got good memories of your life beforehand, but this is a different road and you have to just learn how to walk that new road.
Lyndall Cowley speaking with Eliza Hull about life as a quad amputee. And for more details about the rest of the guests, you can head to the Life Matters homepage.